Well, g'day there and welcome to the Rugby Pass podcast. This is the Short Ball with Scotty and Mills. It is the 26th of October. October already, Millsy.
Sharks.
Must be exam time for you. And a big examination for four teams this weekend in the Mitre 10 Cup finals, the Premiership final between Canterbury and Tasman, and the Championship final between Wellington and Bay of Plenty. Lots to get through on the podcast today, so let's get straight into our mahi with Wellington coach Chris Gibbs. It is a big hello to you, Gibbsy.
Gentlemen, how are we?
Well, we're good, mate. No pressure on you this weekend, though, surely?
Well, mate, from a coaching perspective, the work's done. We've prepared early in the week as best we can, and now it's really up to the 23 boys out there. So as far as being relaxed is concerned, I'm actually not too bad.
Well, you're always relaxed, though. You're preternaturally built that way. I don't know what you like in a halftime team talk. I've never experienced that, Gibbo, but you're pretty relaxed everywhere else.
Just ask Mills, mate. He'll give you the
Hey, Gibbo, no, hey, what have you guys focused on? I've noticed over the last few weeks, you know, the speed of the ruck ball that you guys have been in particularly, you know, cleaning out rucks to make sure that ball's really, really fast. Has that been a focus over, you know, over the whole year, or is it just something that's come about in the last, you know, possible, you know, month or so?
No, it's been a focus, you know, all year. I mean, the key thing for us is that our attack plan is built around the quality of our ball, quality of our carries, to provide quick ball and offload opportunities to keep the ball moving. So that's kind of what we've been, that's a pretty key ingredient for us. And again, you would have seen over the last couple of games, Northland really working hard to slow our ruck down. Mm. But then again, it's just a matter of dealing with that and then understanding how do we regenerate that ball from slow to quick again. And that's a lot of it comes back to the basics of, you know, hard carries and trying to create that quick ruck ball again.
Gibbo, you know Mills pretty well. What's most surprising for you, the fact that he's actually hosting a podcast or that he asked a question about the ruck?
Mate, fair play to Mills, mate. He was never one that shirked the ruck. He was always good. Beaver and Kahui on the other end. They went to...
There you go.
You can't throw down on two defenceless boys like Kahui and Donald on this podcast, Gibbo. Come on. Hey, mate, I want to take you back to the beginning of the year when you knew you were getting this job and you came into the environment. What were the things that you immediately saw that you thought needed the Chris Gibbs touch?
I think just consistency around standard and expectation of what it means to be not only, I guess, in a high-performance team, but, you know, in a proud province like Wellington, you know, there was a few little things that I thought we could have definitely stepped up in. And again, it's just the little things that I think are important, you know, punctuality, all of that sort of stuff, you know, cutting corners, all those sort of, eliminate that, those sort of things that you can lean on as excuses, and you sort of get there. I think the other thing for me is that I'm a big believer in contribution within the whole team, and, you know, that whole collaboration, we're all in this together, and I think, you know, and again, there's no disrespect to Earl and to Wally, you know, guys that have gone before me, because they've actually done a lot of really good work in that space. But that was one of the things that I saw, right, well, I think from a team perspective, we can get a lot tighter here.
Gibbo, you talk about contribution, you know, your back three, you know, you got obviously Trent and Lamb out wide, but the guy that's impressed over the last couple of weeks is, you know, Julian, you know, it's Julian Savvy. How do you keep a guy like that, you know, how do you keep him motivated considering, you know, yes, he has missed out on the black jersey, you know, a jersey that's been his for a number of years. How do you keep a guy like that, you know, motivated, because he's in sensational form and some of the, his contributions, particularly on the field, has been amazing. So how difficult is it to bring a guy back like that, you know, give him the captaincy and also make sure that, you know, he's still, you know, contributing and also, you know, well aware of what the team dynamics are?
Mate, to be fair to him, and this is what people don't see about Julian Savia, this guy came back and after getting a pretty big kick in the ass from getting dropped out of the All Blacks, which, you know, for any human being that would be tough. This guy's come straight back in, mate. He's got on the phone, taken initiative. Him and I have talked. He's told me straight away he wants to be here and wants to play for Wellington. And the key thing for me is that you could look at it two ways. Well, here's a guy that we could dump a whole lot of leadership on and get him to sort of drive some stuff. But actually, we went the other way with Jules and just said, look, come in, mate, and just come and enjoy this team. This is Wellington. This is where you're from. This is your home. And these, you know, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity for you to really compete, and actually show people what you as a person are about, and what this province means to you. And mate, fair play to him. He has stepped up. And you talk about contribution on the field. He has been massive off the field for us. Yeah. Like, you know, the way he goes about his skill work, the way he goes about, you know, just yesterday he's talking in front of the group and asking questions, and coaching was bloody awesome to see. So a lot of this comes down to what he believes in and what he wants, and he's really enjoying himself, mate. And you know, he's focused 100% on this team, and that's all I can ask. He's been awesome.
One of the other features of your selections this year, Gibbo, is you've managed to blend those young guys coming through, the likes of Alex Fido and Asafo Almua, who's obviously not available to you this weekend, but for all the right reasons. But you've also gone out there and you've really sought great talent out of the club system in Wellington. I know he's been benched for this game, but Ngalu Taufale has been outstanding for you this year. Matiaki Gafatolu, who will start at open side for you. Will Mangos, who's come through this year and shown that he can compete at this level, in fact, gets a start at lock. Was that important to you to make sure that you were rewarding guys who were putting in the hard yards in club rugby in Wellington?
100%, because this team is Wellington. This team represents everybody that plays the game in Wellington. It's not super team, and it's certainly, and this is what I said to the players, this is not a thing you have to do on your way to Super Rugby. This team has got massive significance in terms of your career, in terms of others that are coming after you, and so those things are important. You know, and I think if you look at the club rugby window down here, and you look at the talent that we've got, it's just making sure that we can, you know, we can open those pathways, we can open the door for guys to take opportunities. And, you know, and again, it's a credit to the club coaches here. And, you know, like they've been open with me, and they've talked, and they've, you know, we've tried to work in collaboration again, which I'm sure will get better even next year. And again, these players have been given an opportunity. Some have had to have, you know, some have had to have a wee boot along the way, just to get them up, but they've done it and they've come through. And you talk about the likes of Will Mangos, Regan Varney, guys like that, you know, have really stepped into the fray. And it's, again, you just give people opportunities and they just keep, you know, constantly keep surprising you. So that's really good.
Gibbo, all right, what's it going to take, mate? Bad Plenty, they've come off a big high. You've seen it in the Premiership where, you know, not many people expected Tasman to get over Taranaki. You guys have been the out-and-out favourites of the whole year. So, what's it going to take to win the championship, mate?
Mate, I think that, you know, and again, having been in this position before and lost a couple of finals, I think the key thing for us is just to keep it simple and not overanalyse it and understand the enemy, but actually understand what makes us tick even more, and just pay attention to those things that have helped us get to where we are. I think, you know, we talk about, you know, it's the final and there's expectations because Wellington hasn't won and they've lost and all that. Well, actually, our players don't own any of that. Nice. They aren't responsible for what's happened in the past. They're responsible for what happens in the here and the now. We're 80 minutes away from achieving a goal that we set out as a group and to do at the start of the year. So, mate, it's all about keeping everyone nice and relaxed, focused on their job at hand, and then just go and play and just do what's good. And look, at the end of the day, it is sport and it is a game of rugby, and, you know, they're coming down the road and they're going to want to compete. So, you know, we're going to have to be good because they'll be good, and we'll just see who comes out on the top.
Gibbo, Melzi touched on the back three for you guys a little bit earlier in this conversation. I just want to touch on one selection and probably one that surprised a few people, and that's Will Mangos coming into the right lock position and James Blackwell going to six. I know you're up against a very competitive line-out with Kippa Muirt and Tom Franklin locking for Clayton McMillan's boys. What was the thinking behind making those switches in your second and back rows?
So I think that the first and foremost, it's to understand that every time that Will Mangos has come onto the field either as a substitution or in a starting position, he's added big value to our team. And his numbers reflect that. And I think if you look at, you know, he's a young, fresh athlete, and he's got a lot of, you know, a lot of explosive power, and that's kind of what I'm after. The second part of that is the dynamic of our pack. So my thinking is around we're losing a Safo and a dynamic ball carrier like that. Then I need a little bit more, I guess, grunt in that back row, in that back five. So that's the thinking behind that. Mm. And again, Blackie's played. He started the Canterbury game for us at six and did well until he hurt his shoulder. And you know, I'm confident that dynamic will work for us. All right, tomorrow night.
Oh, that's great, Gibbo. Hey, thanks for that, mate, for your candour and your honesty and being up front, and we really appreciate your time on the short ball. Mate, looking forward to seeing you go around tomorrow night. Good luck for the last game of the year, buddy.
Good on you. Thanks, fellas. Cheers, eh?
Thanks, mate. Chris Gibbs, coach of the Wellington Lions, as they aim up on that elusive final victory. Look, this is the season, isn't it, Millsy? We talked about... we've talked about Asafo Amura all year and what he's added, and I know he's gone with the All Blacks, but Alex Fidow's not far behind. Sam Lousy can be very destructive, especially on that choke tackle. He'll need to be, because those ball runners are going to come out, this Wellington side. And they've got a back line that has settled down. Sheridan Rangihuna took his opportunity in the semi-final. He's been picked again at halfback. Jackson Garden-Bashup, their player of the year. And Julian Savia, Ben Lamb, Trent Renita, as you spoke about. Renita's an interesting call for me. You've got big raps on Trent Renita and his experience in that back three.
Yeah, I just like how he complements both wingers. You know, you've got Lamb, who's possibly is actually similar to Julian Savia. You know, he's very creative. He can, you know, get you over the game line. They used both wingers last week to get them over the game line. And I just think Trent, you know, it gives them that settled back line, you know, the ability to have a look around and say, okay, well, it's not quite on to run, or it's not quite on to pass. Well, let's bang it down there. You know, Julian and also Lamb can kick. Probably not as effective as Trent. So I just think he just balances it up really nicely. So, and perhaps his experience, and particularly at this level, has helped him. So I just think he's key. He probably doesn't sort of shine out as much as on attack as the other two. But I think, you know, having a balance like that just makes things work really, really good. And he's, I think, the key.
That's because his lungs are hanging out half the time. He's had more clubs than Arnold Palmer, this kid. Trent Renita's been around for about 600 years, I reckon. He's like a fossil, but he's had a great season. You're quite right about Trent. I think that experience is going to count, and which brings me to my next matchup in this game, and that is Mike Delaney, who we've spoken about on the pod this year, up against Jackson Garden-Bashup. I've been thrilled to see the rise of Garden-Bashup at this level. I thought it was a tough ask for him to go to the Rebels, guide that team around for an entire year of Super Rugby. In fact, I feared that would do him more harm than good. But being back in the provincial scene in New Zealand at a level where he is more than competitive, and with a team that is more than competitive, he looks 100% the goods.
Yeah, well, I think that experience that he had over there, I mean, it was tough going. And he needed to go to, you know, dark places. He needed to be able to, like, I don't know a better way to put this, but actually get, you know, go backwards and actually learn about himself, learn about what he needs to do to get his team out of trouble. And now he comes back with all that experience, be it, you know, not so great, but come back to that, you know in the back of his mind, well, that's what it's like to go backwards. That's what it's like to tackle all the time. That's what it's like to... and so he's experienced that. Now he's in a position where he's going forward and he makes good decisions. He takes care of the ball. He knows how to work his forwards around so that they are protective of the ball. And sometimes you need a little bit. And it's testament to him to go away and have that experience, but to come back and then apply it and actually play really well and... player of the year. And you know, he had a quiet game, I thought, last week in terms of his attacking. But I think, you know, this week, you know, he really needs to step up because he's got someone on the other side that's, you know, got plenty of experience.
You know, 2 years ago, I watched the championship final, Wellington playing Hawke's Bay, where they got beat in the last minute of the game. Mm. On that occasion, Mason Emerson took the opportunity on the outside, scored the winning try for Hawke's Bay, High West converted. There's been some genuine heartbreak for this Wellington team. Yep. And the problem they face here is if they don't win this game, the season doesn't matter. They are back where they started at the beginning of the year, because that is, it's a zero-sum bet, the championship. Either you win the whole thing and get promoted, or you win nothing.
Yeah,
you're just where you started last year. I think it's tougher than the Premiership, majorly, because of what's riding on this.
Yeah, it is, and you're absolutely right. I mean, if you lose...
You lost one game all year, but if you lose this final, what does it matter?
Yeah, you don't get anything. You're just as good as... the bottom team who was, who was Southland. So,
exactly.
But I like what Chris Gibbs said. You know, I like the fact, I know they've perhaps they've been tagged, you know, they've always lost to the big times, but I like what he's come out and said, you know. They don't own all that. You know, it's their time now to be able to go and make their own history. Don't have that baggage on them, which is great. And to hear a coach say something like that and to actually feed it towards players is what they actually need. I actually like some of the other things he's mentioned. Mangos coming into it and being honest about it. A lot of coaches will shy away from the fact, well, why have you picked him? Well, I don't want to give too much tactics away. He's come out and said, well, I need more oomph. Because
he's got nothing to hide. I mean, Clayton McMillan's a smart coach. He's going to coach the Māori All Blacks. Gibbo's been around for years. Yep. I mean, he coached you, for goodness sake. I mean, he's been around a long time.
Hey, you heard what he said about cleaning rucks, mate?
I heard that, mate.
Hey?
Are you going to dine out on that for years?
Absolutely.
Look, he is very upfront. I think that's been a real benefit and a real boost for Wellington this year to have a guy like that. Look, all jokes aside, what was he like as a coach? What were his strengths and how tough is he? Because I spoke with Matty Proctor last weekend before the Northland game and he said, you know, he doesn't muck around.
No.
If you're not living up to standards, he'll tell you.
Yeah, and that's what he's said. I mean, you asked him about, you know, what are the things he wanted, and it's to come in and change the little things. And you talk about punctuality, you talk about standards. I mean, one little slip, it may not seem much, but at the end of the day, if there's heaps of them, then it affects the whole team. And so that's the sort of stuff he doesn't shy away from. You know, you either, you know, on board or you get out of there. And he's created a culture where guys believe in it. He's hard. You know, you ask him about what it's like at halftime. You know, he'll let some bloody air off if he feels you're not, you know, going right. But those little things, if they start to creep in, and I've heard whispers over the past that that's sort of what happens a little bit in the Wellington area in particular. And, you know, same as Chris Boyd, they've come in and they've changed that whole culture. And when you believe in a culture and live, you know, up to the expectations of that culture, well, you know, that takes care of everything else on the field.
Yep, I agree. And I also like to say the fact you said, this is not a pathway to Super Rugby, this is it.
Yeah.
When you're playing for this team, that's what you're playing for.
How good is that for guys in club rugby to hear?
Yeah, it's 100%. It's so good to hear that. And also, having a tough coach at this level is actually better preparation for you to get to Super Rugby, where the demands on you are greater, the professional demands on you are greater.
Yeah.
To have a guy like that here, that's the best kind of preparation. Forget what's going on the field and on the grass in terms of your training sessions.
Yeah.
But having a guy like that who's going to set real tough standards for you, that can only benefit you in the long term.
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes when you come out of high school, you don't actually know, you know, what the demands are. You know, you're expected to, you know, whether you're expected to tie your own shoelaces. Well, this guy here is going to tell you, tie your own shoelaces. Or you clean your boots. Well, you go clean your damn boots, you know, before you get to Super Rugby level. Because once you get to Super Rugby level, all those do's and don'ts, they're givens. You know, if you don't do this, you don't do that, well, you're gone, mate. And so here's a guy who cares enough to say, well, here's how it is, and I'm going to be straight up about it. Because if you want to get to the top level, these are the things you can and can't do.
Last up between these two teams during the regular season, Wellington won comfortably. I wouldn't say it was a landslide, but comfortably. Look, they lead by plenty in most of the key stats. They're the top tackling team in the competition. They score the most tries in the competition, which to me says they're doing it both ends of the field, which is crucial for any team. But Bay of Plenty, you know, they won't go away. They've got Hugh Blake, Mitch Karpik on the sides, so they will hunt all day long. Yep. Hugh Blake, top tackler in the competition. I don't think Wellington are going to have it all their own way, but let's give us your thoughts, mate, on who you think takes this and why.
Well, after watching, you know, in last week's game when we called, you know, Wellington versus Northland, I actually thought the Northland side put a lot of heat on them, particularly early. I mean, we knew it was going to happen, but it's been able to absorb that, you know. You know, I wanted to see whether Wellington could absorb it, come back out in the second half and actually, you know, keep going on and keep sticking to their game plan and also open up. And they did that. And that's what was really impressive about their game. I thought, you know, the fact that they've absorbed it, their fitness levels are massive. They've got strike power. And so that to me, you know, and there's no disrespect to the Bay of Plenty side. I just think Wellington have a lot more firepower and resilience than perhaps Bay of Plenty do.
You can't argue with that. I mean, the results say that all year long, don't they? So, yeah, I think it's Wellington's to lose. Those are famous last words. but, you know, interesting stat on this game too. The last time Wellington won an NPC title was 2000. The last time Bay of Plenty won an NPC title was 2000.
Oh, wow.
So there you go.
It's far out.
There you go. Let's move on here on the short board with Millsy and Scotty today. Let's talk about the Premiership final, should I say. Canterbury in a final. Who would have thought? They were pretty good against Harbour. I think they just did what they needed to do. Likely Richie Mwanga will come back into the side this week, I think, after being out last week due to his very short All Black commitments. Nothing like holding a tackle bag for a week to take you out of a semi-final. But they're up against a Tasman team that I think had the toughest win of all in the semis. That Tasman win over Taranaki was something else. I mean, the game was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that the Mako just don't go away and still manage to win that game and have set up a repeat of last year's final, man, that is a confidence booster for the Mako.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and to be totally honest, I didn't watch the game because I just thought there was only one result that was going to happen.
We all did. We thought Taranaki were home and host.
Absolutely. And it wasn't until I flicked over at the end and I was thinking, far out, you know, here's the big upset. This is the Tasman that we know, well, you know, they started off slow, but they have got some exceptional players and they're guided by someone, you know, who's fairly young, but it's got a bit of a, you know, Super Rugby experience, who's played very well over the season. And they just, tough rugby. And as you say, they won the hardest semi-final of the whole sort of weekend.
Canterbury have never lost a final in the Cup era. And this is their ninth appearance and third in succession in the finals. The last one they missed was when Tasman played Taranaki in that final at Yarrow Stadium. It's an amazing finals record. But, you know, there's got to be a caveat on Canterbury here because since that toweling up at the hands of Wellington, they haven't looked the same. I think there's a bit of swagger missing in this Canterbury side. Yeah. And Tasman will know that. And there's nothing a Tasman side likes more than beating Canterbury, especially on their home deck. It doesn't happen often, but it has happened.
Well, it doesn't, but you only have to look at the guys that are coaching this, you know, this Tasman team. You know, you got two ex-Crusaders, two ex-Canterburians, so they know what it takes to, you know, be in, well, they're part of the other side.
So,
but you're right. And I think they would have seen enough, and that, you know, Canterbury's form hasn't been the same since they lost to Wellington. They would have seen enough to know, okay, and they're two smart men to say, well, and also Goody, who's who's assistant coach as well, they're very smart men. They would know, okay, these are the things that we need to work on to try and make, and well, in order for us to win. And so it's going to be a big one, mate. I'm really looking forward to this final.
First game I called all season was Canterbury Tasman. It was round one.
Yep.
And they dusted them. 39-0 on that occasion, Canterbury, which was to me a sign that things were not going to recover for Tasman. They have come back from 39-0 in their first game, and they lost their second to Manawatu, and they're now in a final. How quickly this competition can change over 10 weeks. James Lowe's last game, I think, you know, they are going to play for J-Lo.
Yeah.
He has been a great servant of this game. He's given his all for Tasman. He always does.
Always has.
Alex Ainley can't have many more seasons left in him.
Yep.
T.E. Polo coming back this year as a foundation member of the Mako and now still playing.
Yeah.
Andrew Makaleo, I think, will get the start with T.E. Possibly on the bench, but I could be wrong. I'd love to see T.E. start this game. Andrew Makaleo, of course, cramped up in the last outing because he played his socks off. But I don't know where I can pinpoint a real sense here with Tasman that they have an advantage in any one area of the game. And that's the only thing I look at this game and say, where do they have the edge against Canterbury?
Well, I think naming those players, you know, I think there's a lot of experience there and in different positions. And if you think of Tasman, yeah, okay, you look at the talent that we've got out the back, you know, with Jordan, Will Jordan and co, and then you look at the Canterbury backline, that takes care of itself. But I think it's experience. You know, you look at Jordan Taufua, who's there as well.
Yeah.
And now they're hard men, you know. And so I think if there's anything that's going to actually, I suppose, be an advantage to them, it's perhaps that and the fact they're playing for some guys that have been around for a very long time. And that can get you, you know, you look at the Australian, the Bledisloe game. There's, you know, there's a lot of things that they're playing for, and perhaps this is what they, you know, the Tasman team will do too.
I like Quinton Strange. I think he had a great year for the Crusaders debut. Ethan Blackadder can't be far away from that sort of level of footy. Jordan Taufua, who you mentioned. I think they've got a good pack. And missing Tim Perry, of course, who's been called away with the All Blacks. So that's a big loss for them, how they cover that loose head. We know Canterbury got a pretty good scrum. They always do.
Yeah.
So I guess that adds a new dimension. I mean, guys played well enough for you in the NPC to get All Black selection, it means he's been performing for you.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's a big gap to fill.
It is. And isn't it nice to have to get rewarded for playing well 100%. Over there? I mean, and that's what you kind of want. And the All Black selectors have done that. They're not only with Perry, but also with Matt Duffy, who's had a fantastic year all around with the Super Rugby and the NPC. And so, but as you say, that is a massive hole. I mean, I think Perry is a massive hole to be able to fill, considering what we all know about the Canterbury forward pack and particularly their set piece.
He's ruthless too, Tim Perry. Loves an elbow in the head. Richie Mwonga taking on Mitch Hunt, likely to be the first five matchup. You know, they partnered up so well for the Crusaders. Now they go head to head. That's juicy. I love that.
That is. And it's awesome. I mean, you know, Richie was injured in the early parts of Super Rugby. Hunt came in and played a massive role, and then you didn't see too much of him once Richie came back. And so that in itself is just, you know, one thing that you want to actually go and watch these the two tens go at it, because in some ways it probably will establish who's going to be the 10, you know, 10
no.
next year. You know, I think, you know, while...
Come on.
Hey?
Come on.
Well, it has to be, man. It's good competition, isn't it?
It's great, hey? Mitch Hunt will be thinking that. Old Clutch Hunt. Say that four times fast. Clutch Hunt. I like what Hunt's done. I like his calmness. You know, Mitch Hunt never looks flustered. Neither does Richie Mwonga from that point of view. And the two halfbacks are going to be a great battle. Two gingers going at each other. Finley Christie and Mitch Drummond. It's great to see two ginger nines. It's going to be sparks flying. So, how good?
That's good.
I like that. Where do you think Canterbury have the crucial edge for you? Is it in the back line with some experience here, the likes of Tim Bateman running the centres and some wingers who perform well? Or is it going to be around that 9-10 combo where Mwonga and Drummond probably can claim to have the better relationship?
Well, I think Bateman's key. I think he's the key for them. You know, he kept in the side when, who was it, Whitelock was away. Yeah. And so I think his organisation, and we often talk about guys in the All Blacks, Crotty and co, he's going to be key for them, I think, Bateman, in terms of how he organises his forwards and the connection they have with the forwards and the backs. And particularly, you know, you talk about Hunt and Drummond. Well, Drummond's on the other side, and Christie. I mean, you're thinking, you know, they're probably the most inexperienced out of the two sort of nine and tens. And so Bateman being on the Canterbury side, I think he'll know that, and he'll make sure his tens and nines are right on the job.
Can I finish the pod today with a bit of a stat for you?
Okay.
Here's a stat for you. Canterbury this year have scored 43.6 points per game. That's the top. Tasman have scored 27.5 points per game. Can you tell me what the score was in last year's final?
Oh.
I may have just given you the answer.
What, 40-something, 20?
43-27. Oh. The exact score in last year's final between Canterbury and Tasman basically matches up with their points scored per game this year. Technically speaking, Canterbury have got a 16-point buffer on Tasman.
Gee.
Did last year in the final and have done every game this year.
That is a great stat.
That's a great stat to finish.
Jeepers.
Don't forget, you can catch up all the mighty... Thanks very much for that, Millsy. I worked on that. Just now on my laptop, I just saw that. It's amazing.
How do you get one of how do you get those stats, mate?
You get a laptop first.
Mine's not too great at the moment.
You've got these stats. I sent them to you yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, sorry about that.
I got no data, sorry.
No, it's okay. The Mitre 10 Cup, every game live on Rugby Pass this weekend. And for New Zealand fans, of course, we've got the Heartland Championship and the Farrah Palmer Cup. So plenty of footy to come on Rugby Pass. And, of course, the Northern Hemisphere in full swing as well. RugbyPass.com for all your news, views, opinion, clips, and all the live action. Thanks, Mills.
Thank you.